twists and turns, man, I don't blame you. I said, listen, I've traveled every road in Pennsylvania. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. I've crossed the valleys, fair, man.
Of course, no, that doesn't matter. I was just trying to get a beat on like what cultural references. Somehow I knew that because maybe you said something up there that was like, I don't know. Did I overhear you? I don't know. Anyway. I'm just sort of thinking about these micro moments that, like, you know, you perceive things about people and then you can't remember how you did.
It is generally how I introduce myself. I will tell you my pronouns.
Oh, okay.
Because I'd like to normalize that as a tool in introduction.
Like, so...
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, educate me. So for me, who's, like, totally, like...
Cis white hat.
Cis white. You know, white is fine. We'll come back to that. Am I supposed to also say it? Because it feels a little bit like I don't want to seem like I'm mocking, but I want to reciprocate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you should, totally.
Okay, yeah, so I use male pronouns too. You know?
Cool.
And Hispanic's funny, or like my father is Spanish, and I speak Spanish, and so in my life I've gone from being white to like white Hispanic on the census.
Yeah.
But I'm always like, I've been in situations where I like mark Hispanic, or I'm like, I'm not what you think I'm, you know.
Yeah.
And so I've been invited to like people of color things. I'm very like, look, I...
Yeah, because at the end of the day, I think race and how it... like fits into like the sort of larger conversation, and the structural reality is about like how you pass, right? So you're white passing.
Totally. I read this amazing book once. Cannot remember the name of it. It was a memoir. It was a guy who's born in like the 50s, and his dad was half black, half white, and passed as white, but left his town to do it. And married a white woman. So this guy was, you know, I hate this terminology, stupid, but was a quarter black, whatever the hell that means. And in the book, there were pictures of him, and he looked as white as anyone you would consider white. And then his dad had to go back to, like, Cincinnati, where he was known as black. And so his son, of course, was black also.
Yeah.
And this was, like, right at the beginning of, right before integration. So there were these pictures of him at the black prom for the black segregated high school. And it, just when you see that, when you read it as a contemporary reader, it's, like, such a, like, because there are these pictures, like, amazingly illustrative example of construction of race. But anyway, let's talk about politics. You do a lot of work on queer rights, queer...
I
was going to say liberation. I don't know why I was going to say that.
Oh, that's my term. How'd you get that one?
I don't know.
That's what I'm
popped
all about.
Into my head.
I'm all about queer liberation, not rainbow capitalism. I tell the people.
Oh, I don't
know.
What's rainbow capitalism? I've never heard that term.
So, like, pinkwashing is another big, like, political term.
Is that
right?
The breast cancer?
No. Oh. Pinkwashing is, like...
Because you know what I mean, like where Playboy's
absolutely,
like,
yeah.
You know,
so
you know,
this whole moment
let's protect
where it's
those
like,
babies or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
rainbows everywhere, and it's June, and it's Pride Month, and we love the gays, but it's like, what are you doing? What are your policies? Like, do you provide healthcare for trans people?
I used to call it Benetton multiculturalism. I don't know if you've ever seen those old Benetton ads. These were like in the '90s, but they'd have like a rainbow of people. But I'm like, for what? For your clothes? Like, you're not doing anything. All right.
Yeah. Symbolic support that's not really rooted in any real...
So, not rainbow capitalism. What was the first thing?
Queer liberation.
Not rainbow capitalism. That's good. Okay. Well, let me just tell you, like, you've been in Pennsylvania a long time? Or are you from
Pennsylvania? Born and raised in Pennsylvania.
Ah, that's awesome. So you
Philadelphia, to be specific.
Yeah, Philadelphia, to be specific. Yeah. So, Philadelphia, I think... I'm on borough council for my town, and I just got elected in January. And one of the things that... I mean, I was interested in, but also some people had been working on was to get a non-discrimination ordinance passed because we didn't have one. Philly was one of the first cities.
Indeed.
I know you know this, but maybe not all of our listeners know that we have a Human Relations Act in Pennsylvania that covers some protected categories, but not gender expression, sexual orientation.
Pennsylvania is, in fact, the only state in the Northeast corridor.
The Florida of the Northeast.
Without statewide non-discrimination.
Yeah. And the other one that I think is interesting I've seen is genetic information, which I think, you know, just if we step back, it's something that's going to be more and more relevant. You know, your employer wants you to take a genetic test, and they don't want to hire you because you're at risk for something that's going to be expensive.
That's not protected under HIPAA's laws? Really?
Oh, I don't know. I know in the ordinances I've seen, that's added as a third category. Huh. Because, like, to step back for people who aren't following, like, part of the strategy here is, like, if we can, right, get boroughs to push the envelope further, then there's a back and forth. There's a virtuous cycle, and then it's easier for the state to justify it.
Yeah.
So, have you worked on that, on ordinances like that? Anything you've done, or you know anything about them?
I haven't worked on ordinances because right now, in my current employment position, we're focusing on, like, electoral work. It's next year that we'll switch to, like, legislation.
Right.
For sure.
So, so one thing is, of course, there was, I can't remember the name of the case, the Supreme Court case, the Colorado one.
The Masterpiece Cake. Masterpiece.
I called it Masturbate case the other day, and people made fun of me. I did some sort of, I think it was not too close to Masturbate. Yeah. I was like, the Masturbate class, and they started tittering. I was like, oh, no.
I love it. I want to call it that now.
Masturbate class. So,
yeah. It's a narrow ruling.
Yeah, it is narrow ruling. I need to, I guess I need to read
but
it.
But it's definitely not a reaffirmation that, like, religion will not be used in any context to support hatred.
Right, but of course the opponents of Where I Am were excited, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And some of the people who are supportive but are weak support are a little bit like, ooh, should we step back and reconsider? And so, I'm sorry, I'm kind of thinking out loud, but it's like, you know, what are we going to do? So one of the things... In Pennsylvania, the ordinances I've seen, a lot of them have like a local human relations commission that has a lot of investigatory power. And that's the thing that's kind of the sticking point is like my little town of 5,000 is like, do we want to do that? Can we do something else? And
yeah.
I don't know if you have any thoughts on any of that. Like if there are other alternatives.
Well, there's soon to be a statewide LGBT commission.
An LGBT commission? What was that going to mean? Like part of the human relations commission?
No, it'll be LGBT specific through the governor's office.
Okay.
Yeah, which will have some teeth and some power. Like, they want to make it so that it's, like, that it can live beyond, like, a supportive governor, right? Like,
yeah. You know, institutionalize it.
Right. So that's going to be rolled out this next year. Although, that being said, actually, I'm pretty sure I should. That's...
Yeah, you shouldn't say that.
That is, yeah, that's confidential information, actually.
We can cut that.
I think about that.
But let's imagine the...
the idea being that if there was a statewide commission to bring those concerns to, that could really take off the pressure of the borough to follow through with like the
pieces, I mean,
like to put the ordinance in place, and then you would have a larger body to take.
So like here's the kind of conundrum that I could potentially face. Like I want this to happen, and. I've already had people say they're probably full of shit, but they're you know, they have the backing of statewide and that, like the American Family Association, like one of their people, they said, well, we're going to sue you, right? And so then it becomes much harder for me to say,
sue you for what? For instituting this policy?
Yeah, and I'm a little bit like they're probably full of hot air, but that's when you're again,
yeah, totally.
Our borough budget's like $3 million. There was a borough near us that went bankrupt on lawyer fees, so you know it. I don't at all want to seem like an apologist at all, but it's like we want to do this, and at the same time, you know, you're trying to do several things at once. Get there are people who are supportive, get them satisfied, do a policy that does something.
Yeah, totally, with right? teeth.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I liked about the model ordinances I'd seen was setting up a local human relations commission. I mean, we've done some like calling boroughs, and most of them are like it's hardly been used, right? So there's, I think, there's a lot to be said for being able to say we have this, right? Just as a signaling, symbolic piece. I don't mean empty symbolism, but for people to know, oh, hey, that's there. The other thing is, the local human relations commission could. One, whatever happens at the state with the Human Relations Commission, or if that changes, you know, they can be a local kind of information resource for people. Because, you know, you call somebody in Harrisburg or it's far away, blah, blah, blah. The other is, you know, the sort of first line of response would always be mediation, you know. So if both parties agree, you can have, we have a really good mediation center in our area that trains people. So I was like, you know, the human relations piece of the language of this always, I think, is really, like, inspiring. Like non-discrimination is very like what can't be done. It kind of has to be, right?
Well, yeah, because ultimately it's a preventative measure, right?
Right,
it's about saying, okay, we won't tolerate this, but the way that it's used ultimately is that so folks have legal recourse when they face discrimination, right? That's how it ultimately comes out to be
it's
used.
A preventative measure.
Well, there's that, and there's also there's some amount of I guess I would say like ideally somebody who feels discriminated against can always sue, right? That, I'm sorry, in some categories they can sue. Like if your first piece, like the language of human relations to me is like, what can we do to improve human relations?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to say is like, that's like the fun part compared to the, we have to say what can't be done. Like you can't write a human relations act, well, you can't write a like tolerance ordinance.
Yeah.
Like, we can't enforce tolerance. We can only enforce non-discrimination. But we can encourage, that's what I'm trying to say. This is a better
Absolutely.
Way. But we can encourage like positive human relations. Anyway, so what, let's shift to electoral. Like, what, well, do you want to talk about electoral? Just as you, or is that too hard to talk about human relations campaign? I was just curious, like, what are the strategies and,
I mean, goals? I can talk about that for a bit. Yeah. So, the HRC is a national organization, right? The largest and the oldest LGBT civil rights group in the country. Right. It's generally focused on federal.
Did it used to have another name, and then they switched to Human Relations Campaign like a long time ago?
Okay. I mean, the Human Rights Campaign. And so they've generally focused on federal legislation. They have a big part of getting the Marriage Equality Act passed. Yeah. What we realized this year in 2018 is that the midterm elections are critical for our community, right? And for marginalized communities everywhere. So we've sort of thrown our gauntlet into electoral organizing in 6 battleground states: Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, mm-hmm. Wisconsin, Arizona, and Nevada. You'll notice that those
battleground for the House.
Yeah. And then so here in Pennsylvania, we're focusing in about six congressional districts with competitive races. With here in NEPA, right? So we want to defend Matt Cartwright's seat.
Okay.
We'd like to see Susan Wild elected in Lehigh Valley.
Yeah. Man, I really like Greg Edwards.
Yeah.
I don't know much about her, but I heard him speak, and I didn't mean to distract you too much. It's not your district, though, right?
Lehigh's not my district. I'm NEPA, NEPA, yeah. And Bucks County.
Did you see him?
So that's Scott Wallace.
Did you see him speak ever? Right?
I have not. No.
It just seemed like amazing. Sorry, go ahead. So, Susan, do you want to do the other ones?
Scott Wallace in the first.
So, in the first is where?
Bucks County.
Okay.
And then...
or some in the West?
Connor Lamb.
Uh-huh, sure.
Yeah.
And Philadelphia, but we're confident that Philadelphia will retain their seat.
So, how's Matt looking? He's an incumbent.
Yeah.
And what did the gerrymandering case do to his district? I was one of the petitioners.
Nice.
I was one of the 18. Yeah. My claim to fame.
It definitely made his chances better.
So he's the Wilkes-Barre Scranton area?
Yeah.
So did it kind of centralize more?
Right.
Which always made sense to me. Just partisanship. Why split up that area?
Stupid. Right. Well, because
I know why.
It benefits conservative politicians. Yeah, and so the way to go about that is sort of the same way, you know, that Obama sort of started, right? It's like grassroots organizing on mm-hmm. the ground, building a coalition with local organizations, right? Like Action
right.
Together,
right.
And the various LGBT organizations in any given
right.
place, right? Because a lot of LGBT orgs are nonprofits, right?
Yeah.
So they're limited.
Like 501c3s?
Yeah, they're a 501c3, so they're limited in the kind of political work they can engage in, and also, right, their focus is on supporting the community, like through direct services. And there is a statewide LGBT org, it's Equality PA,
mm-hmm.
But they've sort of drastically lessened their presence statewide, so the HRC really looks at its role as sort of filling in that gap as the statewide org that's working to turn out our constituency and of LGBT folks, of members, right, which extend beyond the LGBT community.
Sure.
And then allies and supporters all over, right, and having issue-based conversations, really.
So for you all, like, what kinds of issues do you want to talk about, either with your own members or with, do you think you're going to do persuasion or targeting?
So through data mining, we've identified, and like, the help of, you know, a big org that does this whole sort of thing, we've identified 1.5 million equality. We do use it. We've identified 1.5 million equality voters in Pennsylvania, which is
uh-huh.
to say folks who are with us on these issues, LGBT issues, healthcare, immigration, and then it's broken down into, so you're with us on these issues, but voter propensity, right? So your likelihood to vote. So the category we're really looking to focus on in those 1.5 million equality voters, right, through data mining that we've identified that would vote with us, is those folks who are with us but don't turn out to vote. So we want
to... Oh, so 1.5 million, so have, you know, have voted but don't vote consistently. Is that fair?
Yes. And particularly, right, don't vote outside of presidential elections.
Yeah, right. Taylor just walked up.
Is,
sorry, real quick. Have you all met?
No.
Oh.
No.
Sam.
Taylor.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
We've been talking electoral strategy. Sam's helping Matt Cartwright. Well, sorry. You're interested in helping Matt Cartwright. And,
indeed.
So they have 1.5, the Human Rights Campaign, 1.5 million equality voters I've identified.
Wow. That's fantastic.
It is fantastic. Yeah. Is that, were you surprised at the number? I mean, that's like...
No, not really, because honestly, like, when you... When it's all sort of broken down into, like, hey, do you believe that everybody has the right to marry who they... Right, when you break things down into, like, issue-based questions as opposed to making it really partisan, are you a Republican? Do you hate Donald Trump? Folks find that they are generally just way more liberal than I think they think they are.
Yeah. Well, it's you know...
Tom Wolf said it pretty well. So we endorsed Tom. We, like, had a big press conference in Philadelphia 2 weeks ago where we endorsed Tom Wolf.
Did you get to meet him?
I did,
yeah. What'd you think? Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
I kind of like him. I think he's kind of fun.
For the record, I don't dislike him. I think he's a little lukewarm, right? Like, not the best speech giver. It's funny, he, like, spoke right after Malcolm Kenyatta. Do you know who that is? So he'll be the youngest and the first LGBT black person voted into the
into the state. Oh.
Yeah.
He will. Wow. He's going to win.
He's definitely going to win, yeah.
Philly or something? Or,
Yeah. Yeah, so he spoke, and then Brian Sims was the only openly gay person in the House of Representatives.
Was he the one that suffered Touchgate or whatever? The one?
No, that wasn't. No, that wasn't Brian Sims. No. That was somebody else.
The guy who complained.
No, you're confusing Brian Sims with.
I'm not confusing
that
him with
horrid the, person.
No,
from
no,
like,
no, I'm not. I wasn't Brian, the person who touched his.
Oh, you're talking about Lou Barletta. Right.
No. What the hell is his name?
Daryl Metcalf.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah. That's what I meant to say.
They're both terrible.
I'm not
both
yeah. Brian Sims Daryl Metcalf. I wonder if Brian Sims was the guy who's the colleague of Daryl Metcalf.
I think it was.
Brian Sims was the one was that Daryl Metcalf freaked out.
Yes.
But it wasn't Brian Sims that touched his arm.
Oh. Not that it matters.
Not that it matters.
No, everyone, look, we're all touching arms. It's all fine.
You've got the gay germs.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's always funny when people are like, there was nobody gay in my high school. I'm like, you just didn't know.
True.
That's
yeah,
good.
Definitely not.
You just have blinders on. Yeah. It's a big problem. They just didn't tell you.
So 1.8 million, that's really cool. I would love to, we should wrap up in a sec, but.
Yeah. How can we get that, because we're trying to pass this non-discrimination ordinance in our, you guys have already talked about this.
Some.
A bit.
How do we, like, tap into those, like...
That's what
like,
I want to know is the geographic distribution. I mean, are they all in the collar counties? And
they are not. I mean, our members are across the state. I'd
I know you don't know.
Have to go into America Votes and put in your zip code and see what our base was in that area.
That'd be great. Really useful. Could you do that?
Totally.
Oh, my God.
That's wonderful, because we've been really... Because we want to get people to write letters to the editor and contact their borough council person, and then, like, we don't have any list.
And it's the kind of thing that there's a lot of people, imagine this matches your experience, there's a lot of allies who are supportive, but it's not, like, their number one issue. And then some of the religious opponents in our area, this is feels like
their number one thing is, like, making sure.
So it's easier for them to get 50 people at a meeting and yell at me. Which I'm actually, I kind of really like.
Which I don't understand, though. So, like,
you don't understand why I like
it? No, your religious mission is to, like...
Seriously.
Disenfranchise.
Well, the most important thing for you is... Yeah.
To hate. Like, I mean, I just... What religion promotes that?
I don't think...
Just say you are.
I don't think anyone...
You haven't spoken
yet. Yeah, so...
Just say
fun fact. Oh, my name's William.
Hayes.
William Hayes.
Our audio engineer and...
I make things sound good.
That's good.
Yeah, or bad, depending on what words I choose.
No, but as the engineer, you're not responsible for the content.
You're right. Well, unless I open my mouth, that's why I've been silent.
No, it's good.
My father was a minister for 13 years of my life, and so I was raised in a church and community. And what was interesting about that was our focus was never on, you know, hating other people. It was always welcoming others with open arms and trying to make peace the mission and missionary work, really just helping people in the most essential human ways. And it's just so sad to see that I think this is exactly why separation of church and state is so essential. And whenever mm-hmm. people try to blur the lines on it, it's just in bad taste.
Truly.
And it's not healthy or even biblical or scriptural in any religion, whether you're Buddhist or Muslim or whatever.
This isn't related to this is more about people harboring hate. I was standing in response to the migrant children that are being held, you know.
I'll be at a rally tomorrow.
Yeah, I was at a rally, and there was like four people there, and I was holding like a peace sign, and none of the other signs none of them were like super offensive, you know, anti-Trump. It was all like, where are the children? You know, why can't we have peace? And this
don't
woman,
separate family.
Yeah. Super radical stuff.
Yeah, what an unreasonable request.
Yeah. And this woman leans out of her car window, driving on Route 15, which is like a highway. You know, so they're going pretty fast here. And just starts screaming at us. And it's just like, you know, I don't even care about any of this, but like, I cannot imagine how horrible it is to harbor that much resentment and hate towards other people.
Sure. Especially when you don't so understand harmful. Them or even or
attempt
even
to.
Want to. Yeah, yeah. It's just it's almost like a what we were saying, it's a drug. This like
yeah, we were saying Trump hate was, but you're saying that's an
I think
could be,
I think
could
in
drug
just
any,
just yeah. in general it is whenever we latch on to hatred it really it takes reasoning out of the picture. It takes humanity out of the picture. Absolutely. And empathy, which are both extremely important qualities, and logical thought. I mean, at the end of the day, whenever you start getting angry, you don't want to be reasoned with. You
well,
just
you
want to
listening.
Bludgeon.
You, listen. You start listening
exactly.
to respond.
Exactly.
Right? So, and so you're just inevitably defensive.
It's almost like any little thing that happens to be somewhat associated to that emotional it's a trigger, and so you just go from being normal or chill or smoking a cigarette or driving a car or whatever and or listening to Christian music radio or whatever the heck you do, and suddenly you see something that infuriates you, and there's no like let me like count to 10 or something like this, or even like try to approach this as a logical
thing. 0 to 10,
thing.
Yeah.
Evaluate
and,
my own emotional
and what's sad is like this doesn't just affect the political spectrum. This affects everyday life. I mean, if you have a boss who has an issue with anger and hatred like that, and they, you know, as soon as, you know, you do something that disrupts their sense of peace or whatever, and they go full into this other form of themselves, that's not conducive to a healthy workplace. And if we really want to be putting everyone in America first, I think we really need to tackle this issue of
wait
hatred.
Wait a minute. Did you just stumble onto the anti-Trump soundbite? He's like, I'm America first, and let's put Americans first.
Yeah, yeah. Americans
people
first is different than America first.
No, hold on, I'm doing a... Sorry.
I disagree with the Americans first. He says America first, which is I like...
But you see what I was saying there, is like if you can change it from America, which has become a kind of fascist thing, to Americans and make it people. Anyway.
Anyway, I always say I'm humankind first. Which is also maybe Earth first is better.
Yeah, right? Like, yes, what better. Is this first? This obsession with first is so American, right? Like,
that's the other thing.
Hierarchical.
This competition of like, we need to be winners. Yeah. Like, everyone
I also,
wants
going back to the Bible
winner.
Thing, what about
to
the
be,
last shall be
to
first?
To be above means that you have to have somebody below.
Yeah,
right? Like, to
totally.
To be first means somebody is second, and third, and last.
It goes into this domination
just
cycle.
Equality, equity.
Equity.
Equitable distribution of resources.
So... I want to
in
totally,
the world.
Yeah,
not like in America.
Yeah. I want to tack a little bit. Like, I think that the sort of discussion about like hate versus inclusion and intolerance, like that's an important part of it, and that's like at this level of the emotional. I can imagine, which is not a critique at all. I think it's an important part of it because when we tap into that empathy, we make progress. But I think there's another like kind of language about this, which is more like in the like legal formal, and I'm seeing it happening right where we are, is we have people saying, yeah, but if you do this, you know, you're going to discriminate against religion. And so I've been thinking about that, and I'd love to know what you think, Sam.
Separation of church and state is written into the
Constitution. It is, but then they're going to say, oh, but what about the free practice of religion? And so this has been my thought about this, like, you know, none of the First Amendment rights are absolute. Like, we already, like, you have to understand, if you're going to really understand American democracy, you have to understand that we're always in a space where we're looking at balancing out those rights, right? We don't have total free speech. You know, the classic example, I can't yell fire in a movie theater. I can't say at a rally.
Can, but there would be repercussions.
Well, there would be repercussions.
Freedom of speech is not freedom from consequence. Here.
Right. Yeah. But also, you know, I'm pretty sure legally, you know, I can say, like, you know, I don't like Jewish people, but I can't say, let's go kill the Jews, right? That's also inciting violence, which is a kind of speech we don't allow.
Or journalists.
Yeah. Totally. So where I'm going with this with the freedom of religion is, like, I'm almost sure that a lot of these people, if I said, like, your freedom to practice your religion is not absolute, especially in the public space. So your practice to freedom of your religion cannot go to the point where you're imposing your religion on someone else. and I know that, but the way I would talk about that too is like,
slash, you practicing any of your rights should not be infringing on
course,
the rights of others.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course. But in this specific case, because sometimes specific, I think the details help, it's like, you know, you would never say, like, even, you can find biblical support for racism. I mean, we know that Christians do. You know, I think somebody like Alf would never say that his freedom to religion can include the freedom to discriminate based on race in public accommodations or employment. And he would agree with that, or gender. And so I don't know, you know.
Say that.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, this guy I'm talking about, I think he would agree that discriminating, using religion to discriminate based on race. I mean, again, I'm just being very legalistic because I'm saying in the public space, like, I can't control what's in your head. And if you want to have a religious ceremony where you bash black people or women or whatever, I'm not a legal scholar on this, but I think you probably can. But anyway, but we're really talking about the public space where these things, that's what I'm saying, like these rights. And again, I'm not talking about hate and tolerance and love. Anyway, so that's, I was just curious, like, that's going to be my approach to some of this is like, look, you know, your freedom to practice religion is never an absolute freedom. And it's a mistake for you to claim that it is. So have you dealt with, have you used that as a strategy, or do you know people who have? I'm sorry, in terms of trying to, you know, do, like, pass the NDO or codify equality for queer people. And
yeah, I mean, that often and will continue to,
I said,
like,
equality,
dominate,
but I meant equity.
Dominate the discussion, right?
Yeah.
And has been, I mean, the religious right is a mobilizable base because they collect in a way, like, they naturally collect, right? They congregate.
Mm-hmm.
They go to church.
Yeah.
So, I mean, when we tried to pass the, when the HRC, you know, tried to pass the PA Fairness Act,
when was that?
Your biggest blockage will always be,
right,
like, religious.
Do you know when that was?
Freedom.
Well, they keep trying to pass it. It's,
yeah.
It's and Metcalf keeps trying to...
He's our biggest opposition to the PA Fairness Act. He's, like, made it his mission to make sure it, like, never passes.
Where is his district? Who do we know he's in?
It's in, like, Beaver County or something like that. Like, way northwest Pennsylvania.
Can we do some rainbow capitalism there? 2014, thank you. We should wrap up.
Yeah.
But that would be a fun thing, right? Is to do some, like, bird dog. I don't know if bird dog's the right word, but, like,
I'd love to go up there and talk with people.
Yeah, just talk to people. You know, get some conversation.
He has an opponent who is gay.
Oh. Where's Beaver County from here?
Where's?
Yeah, where's?
It's hours away.
Yeah.
Is it northeast?
I think it's in Beaver County.
Let's go.
I have my desktop as a county. My desktop is the county map because I can never remember.
It's scary out there.
I feel like people who went to school here usually know it better because they had to study at the school.
Nope. I don't think I did have to study.
I've never had my share, man.